We all know that feeling. You open your closet. It's full, but you have literally nothing to wear. Story of my life, you guys. Enter Armoire. Armoire allows you to rent high-quality designer clothing for every occasion. Whether you're planning your outfit for a date, or packing for a conference for work, or you need a gown for a black tie event, you will always be the best dressed person in the room without ever having to brave a fitting room with fluorescent lights. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic personalized closet, and then the styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, you just swap them out for more new to you styles. But here's the deal. Armoire is also women-founded and women-led. They even spotlight women-owned designers on their website. So I know that I'm wearing brands that are aligned with my values. And if you're listening to my podcast, probably yours. I love that I can support a business that's built by women like me. And if you're ready to have your dream closet delivered to your door, you've got to try Armoire. I promise you will never be without the perfect outfit for any occasion ever again. How about that? So right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/DSG. So that's Armoire, Armoire, .style/DSG to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Welcome to the Divorce Survival Guide podcast, where we have open and honest conversations about co-parenting, separation, divorce, and the hardest question of all, should you stay or should you go? I'm Kate Anthony, your Divorce Survival Guide, and I'm here to help you navigate some of the roughest waters you've ever swum in and answer some of your toughest questions. I've been to hell and back, and now it's my mission in life to help you get to the other side of this process with your sanity and your heart intact. Hey everyone, welcome back. My guest today is Adam Dodge. Adam is the founder of EndTab, and he is an internationally recognized digital safety expert. Hello. Adam believes that you do not have to be a tech expert to stay safe in the digital age. His work is characterized by his dedication to preventing and addressing the ways adults and children are harmed online and via their devices. He acts as a special advisor to the Coalition Against Stalkerware and sits on the World Economic Forum's Digital Justice Advisory Committee. Adam is also a licensed attorney, whose work and expertise have been featured on CBS and in Vogue, the MIT Technology Review, Washington Post, NBC, GQ, and others. And how cool is that? I met Adam when I was doing my 40-hour domestic violence advocacy training, and he did a presentation on this digital safety stuff, and I immediately emailed him and was like, please come on my podcast, because so many of you deal with this. And, you know, the good news is, as I said in reading his bio, that you do not have to be a tech expert in order to stay safe. And Adam is going to walk us through a ton of ways in which things that we can do right now to stay digitally safe. Before I give you my interview with Adam, I just also want to tell you yet again that My should I stay or should I go is brand spanking new, in case you missed me talking about it the last few weeks. It is brand spanking new. I re-recorded every single video. I rewrote the entire curriculum. I condensed it to be far more streamlined to what you specifically need to answer the question of should I stay or should I go. And I expanded areas that I've had feedback on that were, you know, most important and impactful to people who have taken the program in the past. So if you are a member already, if you actually have the old version, you should have gotten an email for how to upgrade. So make sure you check your email, your spam folder, your promotions folder, and all of that in case you missed that. If you have not taken the program and you are still struggling with should I stay or should I go, or you've made the decision and you are in the place of like, how do I not do this again? This program is absolutely for you. So click on the link in the show notes. Get yourself in this program and it'll change your life. Plain and simple. So back to Adam, my friend Adam Dodge. I adore him. And so here is my interview with Adam Dodge. Adam, thank you so, so much for coming on and talking to us about all things technology and abuse and digital abuse. You know, in my experience, in my work, this is becoming an increasingly large problem. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing, well, first of all, thanks for having me. And I'm seeing what you're seeing. I'm seeing people, especially coming out of the pandemic, people are online and on their devices more than ever before. So as a corollary to that, people are misusing the internet and social media and technology to harm others as well, particularly in unhealthy and abusive relationships. It's just, It's become a no-brainer for a lot of folks.
Yeah. How do people use technology to, as abuse, as a tactic of abuse in intimate partner relationships?
How much time do you have,
Kate? Yep. All day. We got all day. Let's go.
Okay, great. Okay. You know, so many ways. Some of the common things that we see, for example, and I'm going to be very clear and intentional with my language here, and I don't use the word hacking, but I hear from a lot of survivors of relationship abuse that somebody has hacked their email or hacked their Instagram. And at the end of the day, it's not really hacking, because the person that is doing this is not a hacker. They have, in fact, no tech expertise whatsoever. What they are doing is they are misusing access and opportunity to someone's accounts to gain access to them. So if I, for example, logged into Instagram on my partner's device, first of all, nobody logs out of Instagram. So once I leave the app, now that person, whoever has that device, can get into my Instagram whenever they want. And so what we refer to it as at NTAB is unauthorized account access, because, or non-consensual account access, really getting into consent, because what we're comfortable with goes beyond our bodies and bodily autonomy and includes our devices, accounts, and apps. And I don't know about you, but I'm on my device all the time, and somebody invading my privacy in online spaces or in my device is really violating. And once they have access to those things, it's hard to know that they're in those accounts. And then they can use that access to monitor us, monitor our communications, monitor our locations, steal information, steal photos, gaslight, do all types of things. I mean, digital gaslighting, gaslighting is almost tailor-made for devices and accounts, because it's so easy to do it subtly and really make somebody question their sanity if it's being done, you know, on a regular basis.
Say more about that. What is digital gaslighting look like?
Sure. So it's designed to make somebody question. I mean, gaslighting in general is designed to make somebody question whether or not, you know, no, I never said that to you, or no, you didn't, you didn't do that. You didn't pay that bill. You didn't, no, you left it open. No, you start when it happens over a sustained period of time. You know, if it's a one-off, you'd be like, you're out of your mind. I definitely, I didn't do that. But when you hear it over and over again as part of a pattern of power and control in a relationship, you start to believe these things, right? Mm-hmm. And so when it happens in digital spaces or in online spaces, going in and making adjustments to someone's auto pay settings so that it's paying after the due date. So you simultaneously, one, cause their credit to go down and cause financial abuse, but two, you make them doubt their own faculties. Well, I must have set that wrong. I must have done that wrong. Or going in and making changes. I've seen cases where people have gone in to shared streaming platforms like Netflix or whatever and start watching, violent shows or, think to mess with the algorithm to suggest things that either are unpleasant to a victim or a survivor of domestic violence or are more in line with the tastes of their ex. And it makes them feel like what is happening here? What is going on? And so it's a really good platform for doing that. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. It's just, it's so insidious, right? And it's so it's so upsetting.
Insidious is the perfect word for it, honestly, mm-hmm. because it's really easy because of our reliance on technology. It's really easy to worm your way in that way because it's hard to even know what's happening sometimes.
Yeah. And I think it's really important that you distinguish between, because people do, they always say, he hacked my account, he hacked, right? And that these people are not tech experts. They're not hackers. They're not going into the back end, putting in complicated code. They're simply utilizing, our forgetfulness or our, right, the access that they once had, or they just know our passwords and they know us and they know that, we use the same password for everything or what have you, right? Which is actually something that we'll talk about. I know you have thoughts on that.
So many.
You're in my brain now. Whenever I'm trying to create a password, I'm like, okay, Adam says.
Listen, I'm picking up what you're putting down. That's what I think about a lot is the unsophistication of people that engage in tech facilitated intimate partner violence, because you need to have zero expertise. But the good news is if the people that are harming us don't have that tech expertise, then we don't have to have tech expertise to protect ourselves or stop it. So if there's a silver lining to this, it's that we can absolutely do something about it.
You guys, warmer, sunnier days are calling, and you're going to want to fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you're always going to have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. And I know that's really important to you guys right now. You're going through a hard time. You're in emotional upheaval, maybe some chaos, really good, healthy, nutritious meals in 2 minutes. And I'm telling you, they're so good. You've got 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. And you'll always have new flavors to explore. Treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, blackened salmon. Ugh, so good, you guys. So head to factormeals.com/DSG50 and use code DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. So the code is DSG50 at factormeals.com/DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
So, okay, well, let's go straight there to passwords, right? Because that's sort of like the first line of defense, right? It's one of the first things that we tell people, change all of your passwords. But that doesn't mean change them all to the same thing, right? So
correct.
Right? So talk to us about passwords, because like I said, I mean, it feels like that's like the first line of defense, right? Is passwords. What do we need to know about our passwords? Okay.
Yeah. It's hard to make. So it's always hard in my trainings to make passwords an interesting subject to listen about, but here's how I'll break it down. They're the keys to our digital life. So they're really important to have really strong, unique passwords across all our accounts, which is hard to do when you have, you know, the average person has 90 online accounts and 80 apps on their phone. So it's 170 different accounts that we have to keep track of, which, you know, makes it easy for somebody who has been close to us to get into some accounts that maybe we've forgotten about or we've reused passwords on or something like that. So, but it's doubly or triply important for folks who have maybe recently been in an unhealthy relationship to be on top of their passwords, because, you know, the call may already be coming from inside the house. And by that, I mean, somebody may already be in our accounts. Like, we're not changing passwords to prevent somebody from getting in completely. We're also need to be mindful of the fact that this person I may have logged into my Amazon account on my partner's laptop and it saved the password and I never logged out. So now they're in there. And So one, we want to use really unique, powerful passwords. And a great way to do that is to get a password manager. They're free. This one's like LastPass or 1Password, and they will create really strong, unique passwords for all your accounts. And you only have to remember one really kick-ass password for the password manager. But the other thing you want to do, and this is really especially true for victims and survivors of domestic violence and who have been in abusive relationships, is you need to make sure you log everybody out of your accounts. That's what the online safety sites don't tell you, because they're not thinking about you. You're not thinking about people in unhealthy relationships. They're thinking about, you know, third parties who don't know us trying to get into our accounts. But when it's coming from inside, on the inside, then we need to take, as victims and survivors of this type of abuse, we need to take an extra step of logging everybody out of our accounts. Because even if you update the password, that person may not get kicked out. So, because they're already on the inside. So update passwords and log everybody out. You can go into your iPhone or an Android device, and you can go in and you can log everybody out. You can see who's logged in, and then you can also log everybody out.
Where do you see that?
Well, it depends. So what kind of phone do you have? Do you have an iPhone?
I have an iPhone. Yeah, okay. I have an iPhone.
So if you go to hit the setting, the little settings cog on your phone,
Okay.
and tap your name at the top, which should be your Apple ID. Now, if you scroll down, you will see devices listed at the bottom.
Oh.
And sometimes you might see a device like, oh, this is my ex's device, or this is somebody else's device. Right. So you want to get that person out of there. So you would tap on the device that is no longer yours, and it'll take you to a page with some more detail, and you can click tap remove from account. And
that
will remove it as a trusted device. And then you update your password and they can't log in anymore. So again, this is something you don't have to do as a normal everyday person. But we're talking about relationship abuse in the digital age, this is the extra step we need to take. And unfortunately, people who are targeted by intimate partner violence, they just don't get the attention from mainstream, you know, safety guidance that they should, which is why, you know, I tend to focus on it, because there's a lot of folks out there that need that help.
So I mean, I didn't not know that existed, and I'm like, this is so great, because I just logged out like the old iPad that I gave away years ago.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like, ta-da! I wiped it clean, but it was still connected to my account, so that's great. And so, how about on Android? Do you know how to do that on Android?
So Android's a little more difficult, because unlike iPhone, there are a bunch of different Android models. So right. I can't right. give you the guidance here, but I would just say if you Google or do an internet search for log out all devices, you know, Samsung Galaxy, it'll take you to the steps to do that. So it's it creates a real opportunity when multiple devices can be logged into a single account. So it's like, you know, you could have four devices logged into your Instagram account at any given time, for example. So, you know, making sure that you know you can, that those are all safe and you want them in there is important.
Right. Right. And also doing, you know, having that every time someone that works on my team logs into my Instagram account, I get a notification. Somebody's logging into your Instagram account in Phoenix. And I'm like, yes, okay, that's them. Or in Canada, like, okay, that's them. Right. And so I enabling those notifications, I assume, is also a pretty important thing to do. Right.
It is, you know, but usually or often once you say, yeah, that's a safe device. You, know, you may not get that prompt anymore because now it's been considered a safe device.
Uh-huh. And so if you did that when you were married to this person, then
that's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if I logged into using Amazon as an example, if I on my partner's laptop during a relationship and I log in, now Amazon is going to view that device as safe until I revoke it. Right. Because we don't want to get prompted with every time we log in from our device saying, hey, we see you, Adam, we see you under the right password, but we're going to text a 6-digit code to your phone to make sure it's you. Like, you don't want to do that every single time because it's annoying.
Right.
But, and that's the loophole in intimate partner violence and unhealthy relationships is once that you make a device safe, it's not going to get prompted for that extra layer of security, which is another big loophole that doesn't get talked about enough.
Okay. So passwords, I think that's one thing that's really super important. And social media, is there anything else that people should know about social media safety?
So much. On one hand, going sort of circling, just recycling what we just talked about, you want to make sure that you recognize all the devices that are logged into your social media accounts. Because if there's another device that's logged in, you can remove it just like we did with the iPhone example. You can go into TikTok or Snapchat or Instagram or whatever and verify what devices are logged in. And if you see one in there that you don't want in there, you can remove it. It's always a good idea to take a screenshot before you remove it in case you need it for evidence in a restraining order, protective order case, or to show to law enforcement or whatever it is. So you want to make sure that you know who's in there. And whether you get out of a relationship healthy or unhealthy or otherwise, it's always a good idea to update your social media passwords. Just people tend to share that stuff and log in on the other into each other's accounts pretty regularly. The other thing I would say is...
Do they really? I mean, like, why? Like, I've never... I just don't understand why.
I see it a lot with, like, high schoolers and college age students. They'll create, they'll co-create accounts together. They really, you know, because it's like you share everything in a relationship, you know, and maybe no one's speaking to them to say, hey, that's maybe not, if you're going to do that, like, make an informed decision, because if this relationship goes sideways, like, there's a lot of damage somebody can do from inside your accounts. So just make that informed choice. But the other thing I would say about social media is dealing with harassment, because there's so many ways somebody can get at you. You know, they can DM you, they can comment, they can tag you, they can do all these different things, right? They can at you. So a lot of people, their go-to is to say, well, just block that person, just block them.
Yeah.
And I always cringe a little bit when people say that, because blocking can often have an unintended consequence. You know, if you have an ex who's been harassing the hell out of you and sending you all these DMs and messages on whatever, Instagram, let's say, and you block them, do you think that person is going to be like, well, they got me, I've been blocked, I guess I'm going to leave them alone now forever? Or might they go and create new accounts, fake accounts, to continue the harassment, right?
Yes,
so it's important to know on social media. Yeah, absolutely they will. So.
Yeah.
And that still may be the right call, but it's important to know that there are things like muting and restricting that silences the harassment, but doesn't let the other person know they've been silenced. So you're muting, you're basically, you know, neutering them because they're not getting to you, but they don't know that they've been blocked or muted, so they continue without creating, right, you know, an army of accounts to harass you with. So it's important to know your options.
They will escalate, right? They, if they feel like they can't, so you're sort of blocking their ability, their need or desire to escalate.
Yeah. And for the person being targeted, blocking somebody, it can actually be a really scary experience, because once you block them, then they're worried, well, how else? Now what are they going to do? Are they going to escalate? Right. Are they going to come to my house? Are they going to start? So it's sort of like the devil, you know? So, but it impacts your quality of life because you're constantly getting harassed. So that's why muting and restricting may be a good option, because it gives you your quality of life back, but doesn't escalate, you know, may prevents the abuse from escalating as it otherwise would if you block them. So it's just about knowing your options, knowing what each of those options do, and then making an informed choice as to which one fits your situation best, you know? But I always cringe a little bit about, well, just block them. It's like, well, you know, that may not be the best choice.
On Instagram now, I noticed this recently that in the last few months, they've created a feature where if you hit that you're going to block someone, it also says, and you have the option of blocking all accounts that they create. How sort of airtight is that?
I'm glad it's there. It's a long time. They could have done this stuff 10 years ago, frankly. So it's really frustrating that they're just doing it now. But that aside, putting my own stuff aside for a second, it's great, right? It's a great thing, because now what that means is if that person tries to create a fake account using that same email or that same device, their Instagram's going to say, sorry, you can't do that. The problem is it's pretty easily circumvented by using a VPN. So a virtual private network, which changes your IP address. So, and that's what it's relying on to block you. So if you don't do anything, then yeah, if you get blocked, you try to create a new account and start messaging someone, you're not going to be able to do that. But using a VPN is not high level expertise. It's people use them all the time. So, and they're readily available. There's tons of them in the App Store and the Google Play Store. So pretty easy to get around it, but I will take the speed bumps all day long, because maybe it's not worth their time to use the VPN to create a new account. Maybe they leave the person alone. So
yeah,
with online stuff, it's really about throwing up as many roadblocks as you can. And you hope the person just gives up, because they're just not going to be that, they're not going to be that dedicated about it, because they're just a regular average person and they're not going to, you know, crack their knuckles and put on their hacker hoodie and start, you know, firing away the keys to figure out how to get a backdoor into your accounts. You're like, okay, I'm, you know, they changed all their passwords. You know, none of my devices are considered trusted anymore. They're not responding to my harassing messages. And hopefully, you know, or I've been blocked and I can't create new accounts. So you know what, I'm going to go find lower hanging fruit than this and stop bothering this person, because I'm not getting anywhere.
Right. The alternative is, or they escalate, which is always the danger, right? Let's talk about listening devices, Echo or Alexa and stuff like that, right? Is this a thing? Can they hear me?
No one can say for certain that that Amazon's not listening to you through an Echo.
Oh, not but Amazon, but my former partner, right? If we had a shared Alexa account, like, can he log into my Alexa and hear me?
I don't think so. It's not something we see happening. I think this concern is, I think, what makes technology such a great fear-based tool in relationship abuse, is that anything seems possible, right? Now, I'm not saying, I mean, you should definitely update your passwords to your smart home speakers and all that good stuff. But it's usually the least complicated answer when someone is describing a pattern of tech-facilitated abuse. It's like, well, they know where I am all the time, or they know that I said this, or they know these things. And so that means there's a spy camera or a listening device in my home. And you know, the truth of the matter is, it's like, no, they still have access to your email and are able to read your emails, or it's rarely something super sophisticated. And if there's good news to be had, when people are worried about a listening device in the home that's not necessarily being misused like a smart speaker, but it's actually like a device they bought off like a spy website, like a spy tech website, which are readily available, The good news is there's a path to determining whether there's a spying device, like a spy cam in your home, because one, it's going to be plugged into power. And two, it's likely going to be using the internet, because sending radio signals or whatever is just not something these things do. I've talked to people in spy tech. So you can go on, to your, like, whatever, whoever your internet provider is, and you can see what devices are currently logged into your home's Wi-Fi. So, and we should know, this gets to
this idea. This is really important.
It's great that we're, it gets at this idea that people, when they think about safety, typically think about physical safety. And it's great to have your doors locked and have a motion lights on and a video doorbell and all that kind of stuff. But our digital safety is equally important. And we should know what devices are using our Wi-Fi. So
yes.
You can also download a free app called Fing, F as in Frank, I-N-G. Uh-huh. And it's what it does really well is it'll tell you when you log, when you download on your phone and you're logged into your home's Wi-Fi, it'll tell you every device that's logged into your home's Wi-Fi. So we should know what's in there. And if we can catalog every device, then we know that there isn't somebody, you know, using a spy device in our home. And, but like I said, if you have an app that comes with your internet provider, like if you got like a Spectrum app or something, it'll show you in there too. But we should know, just like we should know if somebody has a key to our house and we haven't, and we need to update our keys, we should know if somebody has left a device, is left a device in our home and is using our Wi-Fi to spy on us. It's really,
we absolutely should. That's right. I didn't know that we could do this. It would be something to Google.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you should know, we should know what apps are on our phone. We should know what devices are using our Wi-Fi, but because they're sort of hiding in plain sight, we often don't give those areas of our lives the attention that they deserve. But absolutely, if somebody installed a parental monitoring app on our phone and has been using it to track our location without our consent, that's something we should know about. But it's often the last thing people are thinking about in a in an unhealthy relationship, because, you know, there's so many other things to think about. But that's why I'm sort of on this mission to get folks to treat their digital safety in the same way they treat their physical safety. Mm-hmm, I think if we do that, then we'll be able to prevent a lot of the sort of easy ways that current or former intimate partners are violating the digital privacy of folks.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down,
or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Speaking of apps, I mean, every app, because I've heard people be like, I think there's an app hiding. Like, I've checked everywhere, but I can't see, I can't find any spyware on my phone, but I'm sure it's there. Is that a thing? Can they hide an app?
Yeah, for sure they can. Yeah, big time.
Oh, wow.
So we call it stalkerware. That's the term we've I didn't call it that, but those of us in the field called stalkerware. And there's actually a great website called stopstalkerware.org, stopstalkerware.org, which is the Coalition Against Stalkerware website. So if you want to know, there's a great resource on that website that if you have an Android device, will show you how to verify if there's unwanted apps installed on your phone. Now, can it find, can a layperson find stalkerware on their device with 100% certainty? No. It's designed to hide. The best advice that I've gotten from experts is if you're really worried that your phone is compromised and somebody has downloaded stalkerware onto your device, is to factory reset the device. And that should solve it. But stalker, it could be stalkerware, or it could be that they're logged, have access to your Google and Gmail account and are using maps and watching your what websites you're visiting on, if you use a Google Chrome browser, and learning all the information that way. Right? It does, they don't need, I mean, if you ever go to myaccount.google.com or myactivity.google.com, if somebody has access to that, they can see where you're going, where you've been, what websites you visited, what pages on those websites you're visiting, what apps you're downloading, what you're spending your money on. I mean, it's pretty shocking. And most people have never even heard of those two pages for Gmail users, right? But yes, they can absolutely hide on your device. And I would, the last thing I'll say about stalkerware is if you really feel like the number one red flag is your intuition, you know, and your instincts. If you feel like somebody knows something they shouldn't, or you're being followed, like, don't dismiss that as paranoia. We live in an age where that's absolutely possible. And some other red flags to be on the lookout for are your battery dying more quickly. A lot of people will think, oh, my phone's just getting old or I need to do an update. But because stalkerware hides in the phone and is constantly sending information and everything that's going on this device to somebody else, it's working really hard, which can cause the battery to drain more quickly. So don't dismiss a short battery life as just, well, I need a new phone, because it could actually be a sign. I don't want people to start seeing stalkerware everywhere, but it's getting cheaper to acquire. It's getting better at what it does. And so it's definitely out there. It's just not, and we saw a huge spike in stalkerware during the pandemic. So people need to be aware of it for sure.
Why is it legal? Why is it illegal? Is it like, what are the laws available out there?
Yeah.
Around this.
You're not going to find stalkerware on the Apple App Store, for example, because they are very particular about what they allow on their platform.
Right.
The Google Play Store is unlikely to have it on there, although it's more likely to have it than the App Store. But where people are able to get it is on Android devices. You can download apps outside the App Store, outside the Google Play Store. So you can get them from any shady website on the internet. So yes, you know, I don't know that the act of downloading stalkerware on somebody's device in and of itself is illegal, but it can be qualified as cyber stalking. It can qualify as harassment. It can cause, you know, it's criminal. It can be part of a criminal act, but it's not, it's very easy to get. So it's, you know, you can go to really any website that sells stalkerware and get it that way, unfortunately. But we don't see it a ton. It's not like, oh my gosh, every other case is stalkerware, but it's an emerging issue. And because it's so effective, we want people to know about it as it becomes more mainstream.
Okay. What about mirroring computers, right? Like people say, like, I think he's got some mirroring thing where he can see everything I'm doing on my computer. Is that a thing? And where is that hiding?
Yeah, that can be a thing. I mean,
is it the same thing?
It could be a stalkerware thing. Uh-huh. It could be a stalkerware thing, or it could just be, you know, using the iCloud to mirror on multiple, or any kind of shared, you know, access software platforms to share. Oh, it's more convenient for me to mirror, you know, my desktop to my laptop, you know, so it's not, or phones. You can mirror phones like through the phone provider. You can say, oh, I want this phone to ring on, I want my phone number to ring on both these devices. So in a circumstance, so it's not always, it's more the misuse of something that's meant. This is true for a lot of tech-enabled abuse, actually. It's the misuse of something that's meant to be convenient, right?
Right.
And so that, like, oh, I don't want to have to get a six-digit code texted to me every time I log in. I want it just once, you know, and that's meant to be convenient, but then it creates opportunity for somebody to misuse it. So, but I worked on a case where somebody went into their shared phone plan and mirrored the victim's device to their own device so that their text messages and phone calls were going to two different devices. And so they had no idea that they were being monitored in that way. But they just did that through the phone provider. And they've gotten a little better with that where you have to download an app usually, and it's not this super conspicuous act. But because of all the family sharing and all these different shared devices, like there's a lot of convenience-based stuff that's, and that's why people in unhealthy and abusive relationships are such prime targets for this, because we're constantly sharing our devices and family sharing all this kind of stuff. And so it makes it very easy for somebody who's maybe even not even thinking about misusing technology to monitor somebody. They may just find out, oh, family sharing is still turned on and we've been separated for months. Now I can see where they are right now. Right. So not criminal masterminds on the other end of these things. You know, they sort of fall into an ass backwards sometimes.
Oh, right. And I just think that's so, I think it's so important for people to recognize, right, that, and as you said, because it's not some criminal mastermind hacking, that means that you don't have to be an expert in this. You just have to kind of be smart about understanding what's going on your phone or your computer. I mean, I'll often say to people, like, take your shit to the Genius Bar. Like, if you really don't know, if you've got an Apple MacBook or an iPhone, and you really don't know what's on there, the Genius Bar, they're pretty good at that stuff.
Well, I've had mixed experiences from folks doing that.
Okay.
They're like, as far as telling you whether stalkerware is on the device, it's not, I wouldn't hang my hat on that because that's not really what they're set up to do.
Sure.
But they can show you, you know, every device, every app that is downloaded onto the device, but you don't need to go to the Genius Bar for that. You just can do that in your settings. But sometimes it's nice to have somebody help you with that, you know, and it can be very, if you feel like you're being abused through your technology, sometimes it's just nice to go somewhere and be like, hey, can you just walk me through so I can see, make sure somebody didn't put a parental monitoring app on my phone. And because like on iPhones, there's a hidden folder for apps. So you can hide apps on an iPhone.
There is? Where's the,
yeah.
I mean, there's a hidden folder for apps. What are you talking about? Where's that?
If you open settings, tap your name, tap media and purchases down near the middle.
Okay.
It's going to bring up a little menu that asks you to, and you take view account, and it's going to do like Face ID or something like that. And then scroll down in an account settings till you see hidden purchases.
Oh my goodness.
It's like, what the what? Why?
You know what I have? I have Subway Surfers. Have? Subway Surfers.
Oh, cool.
So I guess it was... Yeah.
For some reason, I have Whole Foods Market on mine for some reason.
Why are these hidden? That's hilarious.
But now you see that if somebody, let's say you're in a relationship with someone and they get a hold of your phone and they download a parental monitoring app and then hide it on the device.
Uh-huh.
You know, before I got into this work, I didn't spend time in iPhone settings. Like who's got time?
I don't.
And who wants
I didn't
to do
know
that?
This but, even existed.
But when you start doing it, it's like, oh yeah, I should probably know if there are some hidden apps on my phone, you know, or I should know what apps are on my device. And in fact, if you go up from hidden purchases and tap purchase history, that'll show every app that's ever been downloaded on the device within the last 90 days, within the last year. That way, even if somebody's downloaded an app and since deleted it from your phone, it'll show up there. And again, we should know what apps are on our devices. We shouldn't be in the dark about this stuff, especially if we're in a controlling or unhealthy relationship or what we're in one recently. And you know, taking control of our devices and you know, we deserve to be safe whether we're online or offline. What we're comfortable with doesn't change when we get into online spaces. And it's really easy for people to exploit that. But I think as I'm hoping as we move forward and we are getting deeper into this digital age. I mean, you and I were talking about the metaverse earlier, but
so terrifying.
It's almost not going to be an option but to care for ourselves online as well as we care for ourselves offline, because online abuse is not a second-hand citizen to physical abuse. It's deeply traumatic and harmful, and people deserve to be safe in those spaces, and people who harm people in those spaces deserve to be held accountable, just like they do offline.
Yes. But what about like car trackers? I think like that's another thing, is the car tracking. And again, I think you're pointing out, I mean, first of all, I think they're really easy to buy, right? The ones that just stick up under your car, but also check your phone and see who's tracking your location, right? Because it could be as simple as your Find My, right? And the family sharing thing.
Or Find My Friends or something like that. You know,
yeah.
Car trackers, I mean, the cars themselves, the newer cars, you know, they have apps attached to them, so you can track the car itself.
That's right. Yeah.
But right now I'm seeing a lot less of GPS trackers that get stuck underneath cars. And I'm seeing a lot more of personal trackers like AirTags and Tile devices being misused as a long range tracker, and put behind a license plate or shoved into a sunroof or something like that.
Let's talk about that, because you told me something a while ago when we first spoke about what are they called? The other one?
AirTags.
And then after we talked about it, I got a notification on my phone that there was an AirTag. And I was like, wait a minute. So can you sort of briefly, I freaked out, Adam, because I normally would have been like, what is this? I don't know. And then I was like, oh my God, wait, somebody put an AirTag in my bag. I literally started like unpacking my bag, looking for this AirTag. So can you please explain this AirTag situation? Because this is freaky.
Yeah, it's freaky. So Apple came out with AirTags last year. That's a personal tracker. It's, you know, the size of a quarter, maybe a little bigger. And it's designed to help you keep track of your stuff. So you put it on your keychain, you put it in your bag, it connects to your phone via Bluetooth. And if you can't find your stuff, it'll allow you to basically open an app and it'll direct you to where the AirTag is. And it uses Bluetooth. So at first blush, you're like, well, what's the big deal? Bluetooth has a limited range. If I'm connected to a Bluetooth speaker and walk away, it disconnects. So if someone's trying to long-range stalk me, this isn't a very good tool. But the problem is, what Apple did is they turned their entire device network, and there's over a billion with a B of those devices around the world, into a tracking network. So now all those devices are, for $29, have access to Apple's device network to use as a tracking network. And so it becomes very easy for me to track people without their consent using these devices. And as you said, if you have an iPhone, you'll get an alert. But you won't if you have an Android device, unless you've downloaded the AirTag app, which why would you download that app if you don't own an AirTag? Right. So it's problematic. And you only get the alert within 8 to 24 hours. So for people who are having these slipped into their bags after a night out at the bar, you know, 8 to 24 hours is too long of a window, because if someone's trying to get at you that night, that's concerning. So it's really important to have just an increased awareness that these are a thing now and people are misusing them. And if you feel like you're being tracked or you get an alert, if it's being used to track you, it's going to be in something that travels with you. So check your bag, check your car. It's not going to be in your couch, right? Because your couch doesn't move. So
right. We
know what they look like and we know where they're going to be located. Somewhere moving with you. So conducting a physical search actually has borne a lot of success for the folks that we've worked with, because they can only be in so many places. Check behind license plates, look inside under floor mats, wedged into car seats, that kind of stuff.
Okay. So when I got that notification, right, I was like, well, I don't understand. And I emptied out my bag. I did not search my car, but I've never heard anything since.
It should direct you to the device too. So if you follow the prompts on an iPhone, it'll make the AirTag play noise or to help you find it. So Apple does give you an assist. You have to.
I didn't know how to use
press
it.
Press a link to do that. Yeah. Well, it's so freaky and sort of violating and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's easy to just be like, I just want this gone. But yeah, people are using it at no surprise to anybody working in this industry that you know, creeps will use this to monitor and track people without their consent, because it's a $29 device tracker that, you know, you don't have to, it's so easy to use. So easy, I should say, so easy to misuse. And it's not just Apple. There's Tile, there's Samsung trackers, there's Chipolo, which are different trackers. There's pet trackers. There's all this, you know, the personal tracker network that can be, misused that way.
Huh. All right. I'm freaking out about this thing that I didn't quite, I don't think I investigated far enough, but I will, I will do that.
You would have gotten another alert. You would continue to get alerts though.
So I would. Okay.
There's a lot of false positives sometimes. So I wouldn't worry too much about it.
That's what I assumed, but it was hilarious because it was literally just after we talked and I was like, oh my God, there it is.
That was me. I did that. I just wanted I really wanted to drive home the point I was making.
Hilarious. Oh my gosh. Okay, Adam. So is there a digital checklist or something? Do you have anything on NTAB that is like something, a checklist that people can go through, or are there any resources out there like that?
Since I tend to do very focused trainings and presentations for like corporations and universities and nonprofits and stuff like that, I don't have a lot of forward-facing stuff on my site, but a really good site that you would not think is a resource for this is Consumer Reports, actually. So have something called Security Planner on Consumer Reports, and it is really awesome. So it's intuitive. It's sort of choose your own adventure. It's okay. What issue are you worried about? You select that. And what kind of device do you have? You select that. You know, what kind of abuse are you worried about? You select that. And then it gives you sort of a customized guide to deal with it. And it's got a bunch of cool articles. And in fact, I just helped on one or advised on one for personal trackers on that site. So that's where I send most people is to the Consumer Reports Security Planner. It's great. It's free and it's really really well done.
So cool. I love Consumer Reports. That's great.
Me too.
That's really good. They're so smart.
They can do no wrong in my eyes. They're just really killing it.
I know. So, okay, Adam, where can people find you and learn more about you and your work?
My website is endtab.org, E-N-D as in dog, T-A-B as in boy, or I'm at Adam R. Dodge on social media. So it's Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. So yeah, you can find me there. They're all professional work accounts. So it's not going to be pictures of me with puppies or anything like that. So you're really talking about online gender-based violence or something like that. But if that's your jam, you can find me there.
That's great. Adam, thank you so, so much. I am just so happy that I'm sad that this conversation has to happen, but I'm so happy that you are such an incredible resource for this. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. And for everything you do. I mean, you're helping a lot of people. So it's awesome. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk to the folks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Divorce Survival Guide podcast. If you like what you hear, head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen in and leave me a review. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at The Divorce Survival Guide. I'll see you next time. And until then, remember, you, my love, deserve to be happy.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.